1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest. And we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all our sins. Wow. Hardly needs preaching. John gets right to the point, doesn't he? He says, the message I'm declaring to you is Jesus. Do you see it in our verses? Only 7 verses, 4 times he uses the word fellowship. In verse 3, or pardon me, that 3 times he uses the word proclaim. In verse 2, I proclaim to you this eternal life. Then again in verse 3, we proclaim to you. And then in verse 5, we proclaim to you. John is getting right to the point. It is Jesus that he is proclaiming to them. And right in the center of these 7 verses, at the very middle of it all, I believe is the key to understand this passage in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you so that, here's his reason, you too may have fellowship with us. That you would be included, that you as well also would have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John gives us his purpose right through the passage. This is why he's proclaiming Jesus. Now, the word fellowship appears 4 times in these 7 verses. You see it 2 times in verse 3, once in verse 6, and then again in verse 7. And the word fellowship is a word in Greek that you probably have heard before. It's the word koinonia. Do you remember that old chorus? Koinonia means fellowship. The word koinonia is very simple. It actually means common, what we have in common. The 4 times that this word is used in these 7 verses, 2 times it's talking about God, and 2 times it's talking about each other. Look in verse 3. So that you too may have fellowship with us, with one another. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. So right in the middle, in verse 3, he's saying that somehow these are connected. Fellowship with each other is connected to our fellowship with God, the Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ. Then he does the same thing in verse 6. We say we have fellowship with him, with God. And then look at verse 7. We have fellowship with one another. This is the simple message in these verses. These two ideas are completely connected. Our fellowship is connected. As we have fellowship with God, we will have fellowship with each other. Those very words I prayed, the very beginning we started with. It is not just friendship at church. It is a relationship, a living, dynamic relationship with God that is worked out in the real grassroots level of our relationship with each other. The Bible calls us to forgive one another. Why? Because it presupposes we will need to forgive one another. This is fellowship. These two ideas, fellowship with God, fellowship with each other. What we have in common. What do we have in common? Probably the greatest thing we have in common is our need for God's grace. If we are honest, it is our need for a Savior. We are sinful people, and we share this need, and when we see it and we understand it, our hearts are truly humbled. Two ideas, fellowship with God and fellowship with one another, and They're so woven together in this passage, it's almost impossible to separate them. But the first idea is that true fellowship begins with God. Look how our passage starts. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, looked at, we've touched, concerning the word of life. This life was made manifest, and we have seen it. We testify, proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and is manifest to us. John is clearly calling for a genuine experience of salvation. It is Jesus that is being revealed. Our fellowship begins with God. In fact, John the Apostle is the same author both of the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and the book of Revelation and the Gospel of John. Does this remind you of the Gospel of John? Remember, it says in John's Gospel, John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. What does it say here in John, 1 John? That which was from the beginning. He was the Word. The Word was with God. Look at the end of verse 2. We proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father, and it was manifest to us. That Word dwelt among us. And what is that Word at the end of verse 1? It is the Word of life. In him was life. That's John's Gospel. And here it is the Word of life. And we proclaim to you this eternal life. See, it's the very same thing. John is declaring the gospel to us. In the Gospel of John, he says, this life was the light of men. You go down to verse 5, God is light, and we must walk in light. I think John is doing this purposefully. He is declaring to us that we would have a relationship with God only through what God has provided in Jesus. True fellowship begins with God. And we know that's the case because this is one of the greatest passages in the entire New Testament about forgiveness of sin. Look down in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sins. This is what John is moving towards. He begins, this word of life is declared to you. It begins with God. It's been manifested to you. Why? So that you can walk in that light. That the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all your sins. And the verses two later that we didn't even read in verse 9, you know this verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, that's the context of John's description of fellowship. It begins with God. Jesus is revealed and declared as a gracious gift by God so that as we move through the passage, we come to this great experience of salvation. Remember how we began? Biblical fellowship is a genuine personal encounter with God through Christ. If you have not experienced that encounter, you may feel like our church is a loving, friendly place, but you have not entered into fellowship. John is very clear. It begins with God. God reveals this word of life. He reveals to us eternal life in verse 2. It's like the words in John's gospel in John 17, where he declares, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. Jesus himself. And we know that in verse 2, because he's saying, we proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father. It's Jesus who is with the Father. Salvation begins with God as he provides a Savior. What we have in common is our experience of salvation, that our sins have been forgiven and cleansed in this passage. And John is so clear. His purpose for proclamation is so that we would experience it. Look at all the words in the beginning in verse 1 and 2, and I read it very intentionally. It's past tense. Did you notice it as I read? Most scholars believe that John the Apostle was the last living apostle. He was banished to the island of Patmos, where he wrote the letter or the book of Revelation. He outlived all the other apostles. Remember Jesus' words when he talked to Peter and he said, they will lead you. And he spoke in advance of his martyrdom. Almost all of the apostles were martyred. Peter and John, both in Rome. Peter and Paul, both in Rome. And yet, John is banished to the island of Patmos. Most scholars believe that 1st, 2nd, 3rd John in the book of Revelation were the last living testimony of Jesus. That John lived well into his old age. And John could say these very words, what we have heard, what we have seen, what we've looked at, what we've touched with our hands, as the last living testimony, declaring that he personally walked in the fields of Galilee, on the countryside with Jesus. He was there when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. It's past tense. We have seen what is seeable, what is hearable, what is touchable. He experienced, Jesus was manifest to him. But now, John is an old man. And he writes these words, and when we come to the heart of it in verse 3, he says, we proclaim what we have seen, we proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship. It is a future possibility. So you will have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship, what does John do? It's present tense. Our fellowship is with God and with Jesus Christ, his Son. John no longer sees Jesus. He no longer can touch Jesus. He no longer can hear Jesus preach. He is a very old man, and what he experienced in the past is still a present reality of fellowship. John is writing to us. We cannot touch Jesus. We cannot hear him speak to us. In fact, Jesus warned of those who would be false teachers. In the Gospel of Mark, it says in chapter 13, Jesus saying that after he's died and resurrected, there will be those that come. And he says, and then if anyone says to you, in Mark 13, 21, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I have told you beforehand. When someone says to you, I speak with Jesus, I hear him, he is here with me. Jesus himself said, do not believe it. It is a false prophet. So how can John say this? How can he be past tense and yet have present fellowship? John is speaking to us in verse 3. So that we would have fellowship together and with God. It is by faith. The righteous man will live by faith, not by sight. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that produces faith. That's what the Apostle John is saying. Our fellowship, present tense, is with the Father and with his Son. Peter does the very same thing. In 1 Peter, if you go back only a few pages to the left, in 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter agrees with the Apostle John. He is writing in verse chapter 1, to those who are dispersed in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, those who are in Asia Minor. They lived within probably 200 miles of Jesus during the time of Jesus' life. And yet, Jesus never left Israel other than as a child to Egypt. They were alive at the very time Jesus walked the earth. And look what Peter says in chapter 1, verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Wow. It is possible to love Christ with all your heart, even though you haven't seen him. This is what we prayed in our baby dedication. And Peter is writing to these people who are under great persecution, scattered all over Asia Minor, and he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy inexpressible, filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. See, Peter is saying it is possible to have present tense fellowship with God, though you can't see him, by faith. And guess what? The Apostle Paul says the very same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. These two ideas, fellowship with God and fellowship with each other, are so intertwined in this passage you can't separate them. But the first idea is that fellowship begins with God. True revelation of who Jesus is in the very beginning, what we have seen and touched. And John is declaring him, we're proclaiming him. Why? Verse 3, so that you would have fellowship with us together and with God. And he moves towards the transformation, a true salvation of sins that are confessed and forgiven. But true fellowship with God will always result in true fellowship with each other. The go-alone Christian is in error. The New Testament calls us to share our faith with one another, not to forsake the assembly in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. It calls us to forgive one another, to bear one another's burdens, to pray for one another. You can't do that alone. All of it is within the body. And this is John's message, that our fellowship with God results in true fellowship with one another. Now, when I was studying this passage this week, I struggled with verse 5 all the way down to verse 10. He goes right into this description of sin. You who claim to be without sin. And it's this honesty of this practice of truth and confessing sin, because it is still a reality in our lives. And I think somehow what John is doing is we are forgiven, but now we walk in the light together. This is our true fellowship. Look at verse 7. It's a total surprise. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. That's what you expect it to say. If he is in the light and we're going to walk in the light, we'll have fellowship with him. That's what we expect in verse 7. But what does he say? We have fellowship with one another. Because we are walking in the light together. This is John's simple, honest message. And then in verse 4, right after he declares this fellowship with one another and fellowship with God that is inseparable, that if you are out of sync with a brother or sister in the church, then I call you to the very message of this passage. You cannot say, I have fellowship with him, with God, in verse 6, and still walk in the darkness. You know that it is sin, that you are not forgiving someone. Why does John say it so strong? Because John is saying in verse 7, then find your brother or sister, and let's walk in the light together, and we will have fellowship with one another. You see how it's inseparable? And then in verse 4, he says this other surprise. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. I would expect him to say, so that your joy would be complete. That we go to our friends and those in our families and we say, I just want you to experience true fellowship. This is evangelism. I want you to know Christ so that you will experience this joy with him. So that you would know what this is like. When we are out of sync with one another, I want you to come to the light so you will experience this joy. No, what John says is so that our joy would be complete. That this is joyful fellowship, intimate, wonderful relationship with God in the present tense. Our fellowship is with the Father. that our joy would be that we would experience this together. Now, this is John the Apostle. And remember the little John's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John? Turn 4 pages to the right. In my Bible, it's only 4 pages to 3rd John. There's only one chapter. What is this joy that John is talking about? In verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3, 3rd John, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." What a wonderful motivation for evangelism, isn't it? That we would experience the joy of others walking with us in the light, in relationship with God and with others. It is that simple a message. Genuine fellowship is an intimate relationship between Christians and their God. It is more than friendship. It begins with God. In the revelation of who Jesus is in the first few verses, and then to believe and to understand and have our sins forgiven as we come to verse 7 and 8 and 9. And then it is to walk in the light together. To have great joy as we walk with God together. This week I pray this for First Baptist Church. If you've been hurt by someone, and there's need for forgiveness, then take them by the arm and walk together into the light so that we can have joy together. If there is need for forgiveness and grace, that we would walk together and to be truly alive as a church, to be truly alive is to experience our relationship with God together. Remember how we started? This is how I started the sermon. Biblical fellowship is not favoritism or an exclusive club. It is based on honest, humble, shared experience of being a child of God. Because if we are connected to God, we are connected to each other and we share this relationship with God. That means we humbly and honestly open our hearts and we share our struggles and we share our fears. We admit our sin and we ask forgiveness. We walk with God, with each other as Christians. We all are in need of God's grace. We pray together and we work through our issues. Oh, there will be issues, but we don't just walk away when it is difficult. We walk with God together. In Ephesians 4, it says, "Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." This is what it means to be a part of First Baptist Church. You can attend a service for the rest of your life, or you can enter into genuine fellowship with God and with each other, and our joy will be full. Let's pray. Father, in the simplicity of this message, would you produce fellowship in our church, in my own heart, in our hearts? We have relationship with you, and where we don't, I pray that in the kindness of your Spirit, you would call those who do not know you and experience this forgiveness. You would call them into relationship, and where we have that relationship, Father, would you challenge our thoughts? Would you call us and bring us into the life of the body as we open our hearts and our lives? God, let it be true of us, a genuine mark of relationship between Christians and their God. Produce fellowship in your church for your glory and for our joy. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.